I am always amazed at our work that is done by our creative team. I give them the idea, here's what my sermon series is going to be about, and then they create this stuff and do an incredible job. Yeah, they're awesome. They're awesome. So I'm thankful for each one of us. God has given us some great, great skill set and lots of people. I'm talking today about holding us and what that looks like. If you didn't listen to this video for this one by Mark Moore, or if you didn't read the chapter on this particular one, Core 36, I would really encourage you to do that because I feel that Mark gives a very balanced kind of approach and response to this whole topic. I usually entitle each of the topics differently than what the book is and kind of fit them together in a series. But this is called Holding Us, and it really is titled Eternal Security in the book. And so if you read that. Now I have to tell you that in our congregation and among our people, there are probably 50% of you who come from an eternal security background and understanding. About 50% come from a different kind of background and understanding as far as Scripture. And so what I'm going to do is try to walk the line today to help you be able to see, I feel, a balanced picture of Scripture, and as I could be able to share that as clearly as possible. I have to tell you that you don't generally hear me talk about the doctrinal issues that might divide us. That is not a thrust of my ministry personally. My ministry really is what unites the body of Christ. And so you've been hearing that message time and time again about how what unites the body of Christ and what we need to be. However, I know that there are different perspectives that may be there, and so I try to be able to make sure I'm sharing scripturally, because ultimately, no matter what perspective you come from, here's what God's intent is. God's full intent is that you might be conformed to the image of Christ. That's it. So all of Scripture, all of God's work and giving to us is just that we would be conformed to the image of Christ. The Romans tells us that, and that's exactly what I feel. But to do all of that, I have to give you a little bit of perspective of my own background and my own experience. I grew up in more eternal insecurity than eternal security. I grew up and I was born again and again and again and again. And many who come from my framework would have said, yeah, me too. Because you wanted to be sure and the security wasn't there. And so you, every time they gave that opportunity, you said, yes, me too. I don't really believe that's God's intent by Scripture, and I don't believe that is where we need to be. I really believe that He has much more for us in our walk and relationship with Him. I know that in my perspective, I was born again, then I had a bad day, and my name was erased from the Book of Life. Then the next day, I was doing my best, and it was back in. I don't think that's at all what Scripture says either. But that was kind of the framework that I had. What I hope to share with you today is a more balanced, I feel, response as scripturally, what does God say about it? And so I think probably when we first start, Scripture says, I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Teach us this morning. Help us to hear your voice, not mine. In Christ's name, amen. You're going to be loaded up with a whole bunch of Scripture today, because I feel that the better you can handle Scripture, that's why I use my messages kind of in the way I do, the better you can handle Scripture, the more strength that you have in your own personal journey as you walk through this. First, I want you to understand our security is in Jesus. We can trust him. We know that that is there. Let me share this with you because I think this helps us to understand why that's so important that we would hold on to that. Did you know that during the construction of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, that during the first half of the construction, 23 men fell to their deaths in the waters below? It was so dangerous that they stopped construction. Then they built a huge net under the bridge at a cost of $100,000. So if anyone did fall, they would not be hurt. During the second half of the construction, only 8 men fell, and of course, none of them died. 23, first half, only 8, second half. But here's the amazing thing. During the last half of construction, the work proceeded at 25% greater efficiency. Having the net under them didn't make them more careless. It made them more confident and more efficient. In order for you to be as efficient as possible in the Christian life, not worry, withstand trials, tell others about how good being a Christian is, we must have confidence in our salvation. Believe that fully and feel that's an important part as we would look through this. So I want to talk first of all, so you help understand our security in Christ. Because I feel that if you are secure in understanding your faith journey, you will have greater efficiency in your personal journey. You will have a greater walk with him and a greater confidence. And so all of that is very, very important. So let's talk about some of those things that we see in Scripture that tell us this. First, we know he pursues us. There is no doubt about it. Every one of us have been pursued by God. He pursued you. He followed after you. He brought you into that relationship. I know that in my life, even though I grew up hearing all the truth, I wasn't living it out in my life. And it was only until I was about 22 and I was teaching school when I realized God was pursuing me. And I realized it was such a powerful pursuit, I couldn't not respond. Well, that's what Scripture says. The Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. This is his whole purpose. He came to seek and to save us. And surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. He's never going to let up. He's going to continue to pursue us no matter where we are. He loves us. His love is infinite. It's more than what we can even begin to comprehend, because the Scripture says this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Believes, that ongoing belief that we need to have to be in that relationship with him. And so he loved us individually. It says the world, but this really means every one of us individually, not just a massive group of people, but he loved us individually and drew us. And that's why Scripture says he draws us into relationship with him. He draws us. So what does that mean? You are here today because God's Spirit drew you. You are watching online. You are listening. You are a part of Sunbury campus, online campus. You are here there because God's Spirit drew you. That's how powerful it is. He works in that way. There's something inside of you that feels like you just need to pull in. And that was God's Spirit working in that way. Scripture says, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And on the last day, I will raise them up. So no one can come to God without him drawing them. So he draws every one of us. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what's your background, what's your situation. You could not come to God if he hadn't first put it inside of you to want to respond. And that's how it is. So he invites us. So we see he draws us, and then he gives an invitation to us to come into that relationship. Scripture says the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. And so he pulls and invites all of us. He draws us into this relationship. He invites us to come into that relationship with him. He saves us. He pursues us. He draws, loves us. He draws us. He saves us. He gives us that assurance. God saved you by his grace when you believed that this is the part that you do. This is the part that God does. You can't take credit for it, for this. It's a gift from God. So you can't earn your salvation. You can't do enough good work to get to heaven. You can only get there by God's grace. And so it's not your works. It's your belief that gets you there. And so that continuing to believe is the piece that's so necessary. You can't take any credit for this. It's all God. He's the one who initiated. He's the one who invited. He's the one who drew you. He's the one who saves you. And so we understand all of that. That should give you that kind of security to know how much he loves you. Because, you see, he planned for us. He planned for you from the very beginning. It's amazing to think that we would have been in God's mind before everything began. Like, it's just like, he didn't say, oh, there's another one. What should I do with this one? No, he planned. He planned. Scripture says we're God's masterpiece. We're his masterpiece. He has created us anew. So he brought us into this relationship that we were born again in Christ so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Wow. He planned for us long ago. That's amazing. That's amazing to think that God thought that much of you, that he did this planning that far ahead to bring you into this relationship. He holds us. So he planned for us, but he keeps working in our lives, and he's holding us as we continue. And so scripture says, for I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you. He holds us. So wherever we are, don't lose sight of the fact that he's holding on to us. He's holding on to us. He's drawing us. He's working in us. He keeps us. So he holds us, he keeps us. He continues to work in that relationship. And here's what scripture says. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. See, the fact is that he is holding us, he is keeping us. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. So who's going to keep you? God. So can you feel safe in his arms? You should, because that's the kind of security he wants you to have. God will make this happen, and he who calls you is faithful. I love this. He prays for us and represents us. So he prays for us and represents. Remember when he said to Peter, I'm praying that your faith won't fail, even though Peter failed? So he was still praying for him, even though he failed. So we fail sometimes. Does he stop praying for us? No. Now, scripture says, who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. You have a representative who cares that much about you. He's desperately seeking to save that which is lost and drawing us into that relationship with him. Now, what's our response? Let me say this, as we try to understand, there's really two perspectives in all of this, and I am not putting a value judgment on either one of them. I just want you to understand both perspectives. There is one perspective that would talk about predestination. To be honest with you, I really am not dishonest. I don't know why people say that. Why do they say, to be honest with you? Were you lying all the rest of the time? All right, I'll skip that one. To speak about what was in my mind before, when I first got Core 52, I read those two chapters, predestination, eternal security, right away, because I knew doctrinally we may differ in those areas. And so I wanted to understand what that looked like and what that meant. I felt Mark Moore presented a balanced response in both of those. And so I felt like, good, I think people need to talk and think about both of these perspectives, and I think they're both there, and I'm comfortable with this. So that's the reason also I chose this series, because I thought it would be very helpful in all ways. So there's two perspectives. There's one that would believe in a predestination, and it would be strongly eternal security, saying that God chose chose the elect to be saved. There's another perspective. This is a Wesleyan Arminian perspective, which really believes very strongly in free will. And so this is kind of the other two sides. So the free will, really on this side, it would be our understanding as a Wesleyan Arminian perspective that you have a free will and you never lose the free will. You always have a free will. So our perspective as a Wesleyan Arminian perspective would be, no matter what, you still have a free will, which means you could walk out of a relationship as well because you wouldn't be held against your will. So let me talk about our response to his pursuit, because this all focuses on a free will responding. One, we choose to respond to his pursuit. God pursues us, but we have to choose to respond to it. That's how we would see Scripture in response. And Scripture would say, come close to God, and God will come close to you. So we have something that we need to do, and God will respond. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. So we respond to his initiation. We see also we choose to respond to the invitation. So the invitation is given to us, and then we have to do something with that. And that would be our free will to choose and respond. He says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. So God knocks on our heart's door, and that's the invitation. Then we choose to open the door. He won't force his way into our lives. He's waiting for us to respond to the invitation. That would be God's response to us. We choose to receive Christ. So we understand that he gives us the invitation. We choose to respond. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, so we aren't saved by our good works or by anything we do other than our belief. So that believing continues. That God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So God's response in salvation is to our response in belief. But to all who believed him and accepted him, we believe he gives us the right to become children of God. So that belief, once again, is a necessary part to his response. We choose to do his will. So you don't just get up and know Scripture in your head. You choose to read your Bible so that you can know more about God's word. You choose. God doesn't just stick it in your brain. You don't just not sin because you are now a Christian, you choose not to sin because he gives you the power to resist it, but you choose whether or not you're going to respond to it. Anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teachings is from God or merely my own. So anyone who wants to do the will. So that has to be your choice to to do the will of God. We choose to pursue him. So he pursues us. What is our response to him? If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. So we choose to pursue God. He says, love me with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. So we choose to respond to the invitation. We choose to be his disciple. That's a response on your part. So what does Scripture say? Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, so what's your choice? Then you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. And so once again, now we know also in John, I don't know why it sticks in my head, but probably the number 666, John 666, it said many of the disciples walked away from Jesus right at that point because his teaching was too hard. So it's a choice that you are making. We choose to continue believing in our heavenly home, that believing part that is necessary. So we're always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we're not at home with the Lord, for we live by believing and not by seeing. So that ongoing, continued belief is what's a part of your journey with him. Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. So you choose to do the will of God, to obey. And that's what he calls each one of us. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Once again, your faith, by believing, is going to continue to work in your life. Now, thinking of God's great love for us, we basically come up with two different thoughts and in regard to all of this. So let me share this with you. First, for those of you who are secure, and that is your perspective and your background, don't be careless. You have to know from the very beginning, that's not God's intent for any one of us. His intent for us is that we would be conformed to the image of Christ, that we would look more and more like Jesus as we continue to follow him. So consider the warnings of God. Let me share some of those warnings with you so you can be able to think through those as well. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, these are Paul's words, I myself might be disqualified. Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we've received knowledge of the truth, there's no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. So our lifestyle has to change. We don't just continue to sin after we know Christ. There's got to be a difference. And when people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and then get entangled up in and enslaved by sin again, they're worse off than before. It would have been better if they'd never known the way to righteousness and to know it and then reject it, the command that they were given to live a holy life. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter it. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. So, let's look at the other side. For those of you who are insecure, don't doubt. Don't doubt. That's the enemy. Consider the love of God. That's what he's given to us. How he says, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. An everlasting love. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. I love this verse. This is a great one to stick on your bathroom mirror. It's so exciting. Look at it. With his love, he will calm all your fears. What a comfort. Then he says this. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. He sings over us. He loves us that much that he sings over us. I don't know if anybody's ever sang over you or not. Maybe you wouldn't want everybody singing over you. Maybe there's some people you wouldn't want at all to hear their singing. But to think the creator of the universe, who designed everything that we see around us, loved us so much that he sings over us. Isn't that like, that's like, wow. Wait a minute, why don't you just do that? Why don't you just go like, you know, wow. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Wow. Yeah, I feel the same way. Wow. That's just incredible that he loves us that much. Hold on as he holds on. So what do we see? Scripture says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. He's going to hold on. Continue in the grace of God. So what does it say? But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Continue to believe. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. I think this is such an interesting verse, because Paul says, I work with his power working in me. So it's a journey of him in us, us through us, and that continues. So what do we say? We're safe in the arms of Jesus because he holds us. He holds us. I loved the message in this way. It says, say this, God, you're my refuge. I trust in you and I'm safe. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. I think it'd be great if we said this together. But when we get here, if we would just say, oh, you're so good. Me. Thanks. I'm perfectly safe in his arms. Yeah, let's do this together. Let's read it. God, you're my refuge. I trust in you and I'm safe. His huge outstretched arms protect me. Under them, I'm perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Isn't that a wonderful promise? We can just be so grateful that that's how deeply he loves us and cares for us. He gave his life for us. So just remember, he gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. He knew exactly what to do. He desperately is seeking to save those who are lost. So don't ever feel anything less. Scripture says the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. So you're praying for somebody and you want to see them come to Christ? Hey, he's working in their lives. You may not see all the things you want to see, but it's happening because he loves us that much. He's not willing to lose any one of us. He's going to pursue us and continue to work that way. He will keep you strong to the end, so you'll be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. He loved us that much and is waiting for us to reach heaven. Now, all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. That's how much he cares for you and wants to work. We have this priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of challenge and decay. Let me share this with you in closing. Helen Parker died several years back of cancer. She used to write for the Christian Standard. Her last article was entitled, My Most Unforgettable Journey. She told about the time as a fifth grader that she was sent to the Louisville School for the Blind. She was so homesick all that first year, but finally came the time for summer vacation. She would miss her newfound friends, but she was so excited about going home. She wrote, That night I was going home, I was going to be with those who love me. Sleep in my own bed, I couldn't wait. I had to ride a train to my hometown some 2 hours away. And about halfway there, I realized I hadn't called my parents to tell them my schedule. Panic rose in my throat. Who's going to be there to greet me? As a blind girl, what was I going to do? I didn't know the train station. Finally, the conductor yelled, Parkerville, pulling into Parkerville. The conductor saw her and said, Hey, here, young lady, I'll help you. But when they got off the train, they waited for a moment, and the conductor finally said, I don't think there's anyone here to meet you. Helen wrote, My lip began to quiver. Tears started to well up in my eyes. And then came the voice of my mother, Helen, stay right where you are. I'll be right there. She came to put her arms around her and said, It's good to have you home. Oh, don't you see? That will happen to us someday. We'll leave this old school of hard knocks, and we'll end up in a place where we'll hear the voice of the one who'd rather die than live without us say, It's so good to have you home. And that's not only something you can count on, but something that should fill our hearts with thanksgiving and joy. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for loving us that much. Sometimes it's even hard to understand why, but you did, and you gave your very life for us. Thank you for blessing us, for holding us, for pursuing us, for drawing us, for keeping us, for all that you mean to us. Continue to draw us near to you, Father, that we might see all that you want to accomplish in us and through us. We love you so much and give you our praise. In Christ's name, amen.